In today's edition of Radio Theatre, we present I Never Sang for My Father, written by Robert Anderson. I Never Sang for My Father is an emotionally intense and powerful drama looking at family relationships when a son has the chance to leave the family home to find love with a divorcee. But his father and mother are against the idea. It's the story of the inner conflicts of a man pulled in too many directions by love. Listen now to I Never Sang for My Father, adapted for radio by Suzanne Atwell and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Death ends a life, but it does not end a relationship, which struggles on in the survivor's mind towards some final resolution, some clear meaning, which it perhaps never finds. Pennsylvania Station, New York, a few years ago. My mother and father were returning from Florida. They'd been going there each winter. If they didn't go, my father came down with pneumonia, and my mother's joints stiffened cruelly with arthritis. My mother read a great deal, liked to play bridge and chatter and laugh gaily with the girls, make her eyes sparkle in a way she had, and pretend that she'd not had 2 operations for cancer, 3 heart attacks, and painful arthritis. She used to say, "Old age takes courage." Well, she certainly had it. My father, though he had never been in the service, had the air of a retired brigadier general. He read the newspaper, all editions, presumably to help him make decisions about his investments.
"We had 4 bags. I don't see any of them. We had 1 in the compartment with us. That can't have been lost."
"Hello, Dad."
"Well, Gene, as I live and breathe, this is a surprise." "Well,
I wrote you I'd be here."
"Did you? Well, my mind is like a sieve. Am I glad to see you? They've lost all the bags."
"Well, I'm sure they're somewhere, Dad."
No, I've looked. It's a nuisance."
"Well, look, let's just take it easy. I'll handle it. Look, there's one. They'll show up."
No, now wait. We don't want to get the wrong bags. Mine is brown."
The old one was brown, Dad. I got you a new one this year for the trip. It's a gray one."
"No, Gene. I have had the bag in Florida all winter. I should know."
"Oh, please, Dad. Please let me handle this. Will you?"
"You go and get your mother. I'll take care of the bags."
"Hello, Mother."
"Well, Gene."
"Hi."
"Oh, my, it's good to see you."
"You look wonderful."
"What?"
"You look wonderful."
"Oh, a little rouge."
"How do you feel?"
"I'm all right. But your father, did you see him out there?"
"Yes."
"Oh, he's sick and he won't do anything about it."
"I heard him cough."
"Makes me so darn mad. I couldn't get him to see a doctor."
"Why not?"
"Oh, he's afraid they'll send him a big bill. He says he'll see Dr. Mabry tomorrow. I can't tell you what it's been like. You tell him. Tell him he's got to see a doctor. He's got me sick with worry."
"I'll get him to a doctor, Mother. Don't you worry."
"And he's getting so forgetful. This morning he woke up here on the train and he asked me where we were going."
"Well, Mother, he is almost 80.
"Oh, I know. And he's a remarkable man. He stands so straight. Everyone down there always comments on how handsome your father is. But I've given up. You get him to a doctor."
"I've got a wheelchair for you, Mother. It'll save you the long walk up the ramp."
"Oh, my precious. What would we ever do without you?"
"Oh, Mom, you manage pretty well."
"Now, Gene, this is damnable. They've lost a suitcase. We had 4 suitcases."
"Well, let's see, Dad."
"Are you all right, Tom?"
"I'm fine, Mother. Don't fuss."
"There are 4 there."
"Where?"
"Under the others."
"That's not ours?"
"Yes, it's your new one."
"Well, I'm certainly glad you're here. My mind's like a sieve."
"Well, everything's under control now, Dad, so let's go."
My father's house was in a suburb of New York City, up in Westchester County. It had been a quiet town with elms and chestnut trees, lawns and old sprawling houses with a certain nondescript elegance. My father had been mayor of this town a long time ago. Most of the elms and chestnuts had gone, and the only elegance left was in the pretentious names of the developments and ugly apartment houses.
Just look at this town.
I know, dear, but time marches on.
Junky, ugly mess. When we came here...
Oh, don't get started on that. You can't play the show over again.
I can make a comment, can I?
But you always dwell on the gloomy side. Look at the good things.
Like what? I'll bet you Murphy didn't bring the battery back for the car. I wrote him.
Oh, I don't know what we're going to do about that car. Your father shouldn't be driving anymore. But they keep renewing his license by mail. Oh, I must say there's no place like home. Just smell that grass.
You all right?
Oh, yes. It's just my mean old joints getting adjusted. I want to look at my garden. I think I see some crocuses.
Well, he did bring it back.
Oh, good.
Can't count on anyone these days. Where's your mother?
She's walking around the garden.
I tell you, the strain's been awful.
She looks well.
I know, but you never know when she might get another one of those blasted seizures.
It's rough, I know.
Well, we'll manage. She's a good soldier. But you know, she eats too fast. The doctor said she must slow down, but not your mother. Incidentally, don't forget she has a birthday coming up.
Yes, I know.
Before you go, I want to give you some money. Go get her something nice. Handkerchiefs, you know what she likes.
All right. We're going to get that cough looked into.
Oh, I fully intend to. Now I'm home. But I wasn't going to let them get their hands on me down there. If you're a tourist, they soak you.
With the problems you've had with pneumonia...
I can take care of myself. Don't worry about me.
Let's go and see if Dr. Mabry can see you.
First thing tomorrow.
Why not make the appointment today?
Now, look, I'm perfectly able to take care of myself.
You know, Mother would feel a lot
now,
better...
Now, Jean, don't you think I have the sense to take care of myself?
Sometimes, no.
Well, I appreciate your solicitude, old man. You'd better go help your mother. She's missed your lot. Why don't you stay for supper?
Well, I was planning to take you to Shrapp's.
Hooray for our side. Oh, Jean, I want to talk to you a minute. We received your four letters from California.
I'm sorry, I didn't write more often.
Well, we do look forward to your letters. But this girl, this woman you mentioned several times.
Yes?
You seem to see a lot of her.
Yes, I did.
Carol's been dead now. What is it?
Oh, about a year.
There's no reason why you shouldn't go out with other women. But listen, Jean, if you were to go out there, I mean to live, it would kill your mother. You know, you're her whole life.
Oh, Dad, we've always been fond of each other.
Just remember what I said.
Oh, it's good to be home. The garden's looking lovely.
Jean is staying for dinner. We're going to Schraff's.
Oh! Can you give us all that time?
He said he would. Now come along. You shouldn't be standing so long. You've had a long trip.
Oh, he worries so about me. I suppose it's a strain, but he makes me nervous, reminding me that I should be sitting or lying down. Did you speak to your father about seeing a doctor?
He promised me tomorrow.
Oh, I'll believe it when I see it. So darn stubborn. Alice takes after him.
Oh, I got a piece of it, too.
You? Oh, you don't have a stubborn bone in your body. Oh, Jean, this is very nice. What are you going to have?
Now, this is my dinner, understand?
No, I invited you.
You had all the expenses of coming to get us.
No, it's mine. And order what you want. Don't go reading down the prices first.
What do you mean?
Well, whenever I take you out to dinner, you always read down the prices first.
Oh, he does that anyway.
I do not. I think it's ridiculous to pay. Look, $3.75 for curried shrimp.
You like shrimp. Take the shrimp.
If you let me pay for it.
No. Now, come on.
Oh, now, Father, Jean wants to pay. Let him pay. Incidentally... You should go over and say hello to Bert Edwards. Jean and I stopped on our way in.
Why?
While we were gone, he lost his wife.
Where'd he lose her?
Tom.
Just trying to get a rise.
And Mrs. Bernard. She looks terrible.
Always did.
She lost her husband 6 months ago. She told me just before we left for Florida. I hope I go soon.
Why are you so morbid tonight?
I'm not morbid. They're just there. We really should see them, have them in.
Phooey, who needs them?
Oh, Tom, I can't have anyone in. Do you know that, Jean? Your father won't play bridge or do anything. He just wants to watch westerns or tell a story of his life.
Now, wait a minute.
I can't invite people to come over to watch westerns or to listen to you go on and on. You embarrass me so. You insist on going into the most gruesome details of your life.
People seem to be interested.
I admit it's a remarkable story, your life, but there are other things to talk about.
Well, let them.
He keeps going over and over the old times, Jean. Other people have had miserable childhoods, and they don't keep going over and over them. That story of your mother's funeral. And you say I'm morbid.
What was that? I don't remember that.
Oh, don't get him started. He kept telling everyone how he wouldn't allow his father to come to his mother's funeral.
Are you implying that I should have let him?
I'm not saying...
He'd run out on us when we were kids, and I told him...
I'm not saying you were wrong. You're so defensive about it. I'm saying you're wrong to keep bringing it out.
You brought it up this time.
Well, I'm sorry. Imagine going round telling everyone he shoved his father off the funeral coach.
And I do it again. I was only 10, but I'd do it again. We hadn't seen him over a year, living, the four of us, in a miserable two-room tenement. Suddenly he shows up weeping and begging and drunk as usual, and I shoved him off. I never saw him again till some years later when he was dying in Bellevue of drink.
What looks good to you on the menu?
I've not finished. I went down to see him to ask him if he wanted anything. He said he wanted an orange. I sent him a half dozen oranges. I would have sent more, except I knew he was dying. There was no point in just giving a lot of oranges to the nurses. Next morning he died.
Look at your menu now, Father. What are you going to eat?
We hurried through our dinner. My father ate only dessert. We hurried through to rush home to one of my father's rituals, the television western. He would sit in front of them hour after hour, falling asleep in one and waking up in the middle of the next one, and never knowing the difference. When my father fell in love with the program, it was forever. I say we rushed away from Shrafts. Actually, my father rushed. We just lived down the street. I walked my mother home very slowly, stopping every 50 yards or so.
I don't know how he can sit through hour after hour of these westerns.
You know, I think he always wished he'd been a cowboy. Take him out and shoot him.
He won't listen to the things I want to hear. Still, he's a remarkable man.
Good old Mom.
Well, he is. Not many boys have fathers they could be as proud of.
I know that, Mom. And I'm very proud of him.
Everything he's done for his family. So he didn't dance with me at parties. You took care of that.
You were just a great dancer, Mother.
I was a terrible dancer. You just couldn't stand seeing me sitting alone at a table at the club while your father was
dancing with various other people. Table hopping or playing poker with the boys in the locker room.
Oh, what a shame that children can't see their parents when they're young and courting and in love. All they see them being is tolerant, sympathetic, forbearing, and devoted. All the qualities that are so unimportant to passionate young people.
Here, let me open the front door for you.
Jean, I want to talk to you.
You should be in bed. You've had a big day.
Tell me about California.
I loved it.
And the girl? The woman with the children? The doctor? You love her too, don't you?
I think so.
I know when Carol died, you said you'd never marry again, but I hoped you would. Oh, I know it's hard, but I think Carol would have wanted you to.
I don't know.
I think you want to move to California and get a job teaching there and marry this woman.
Yes. Yes, I think I do. I wasn't sure while I was there. I suddenly felt I should get away and think. But when I walked into my old apartment with all Carol's things there...
I think it'd be the best thing in the world for you to get away to marry this girl.
Thanks.
A new place, a new wife, a new life. I'd feel just terrible if you didn't go because of me. There are still planes, trains, and telephones. And Alice comes from Chicago once or twice a year and brings the children.
Thanks, Mother.
You always made things very easy. I think you'll like Peggy.
I'm sure I will. You have good taste in women, and they have good taste when they like you.
I'm not so sure. I never really knew if I made Carol happy. And if I did make her happy, I sure wish she'd let me know it.
I guess a lot of us forget to say thank you until it's too late. Oh, you've been so good to me, Jean, so considerate. Perhaps I've let you be too considerate, but it was your nature. And your father just withdrew behind his paper and his investments and his golf. If I did wrong, I just did the best I knew how.
You did everything just fine.
And your father's done the best he knew how.
Yes.
Of course, you know your father will object to your going away.
He already has. He said it would kill you.
How sad. Why can't he say it would kill him? He doesn't think it would hold or mean anything to you. Well, you go to California. Your father and I can take care of each other. Now, don't mention this business to your father tonight. He's not well. And it's been such a nice day. In the next few days, I'll talk to him and tell him how important it is for you to...
No, I'll do it.
Good night, my precious.
Hey, where would you like to celebrate your birthday?
Oh, lovey, you've already given us so much time. Just call me on the phone.
No. We can have dinner at least. I'll make some plans.
Jean, if your father gives you money to buy his present for me, please, no more handkerchiefs.
He always says handkerchiefs.
I know, but I've got dozens and dozens for my past birthdays and Christmases.
What would you like?
Get me some perfume. You choose the kind.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
You look great. I must just go and see Father.
Oh, so soon?
Yes, I have to go.
Where's your mother?
She's upstairs. Fine. You see about that in the morning, Dad.
I fully intend to. Oh, this West is a good one. Why don't you stay for this one?
No, Dad, I've got to run along.
Oh, well, all right. We see so little of you.
Well, I'm here at least once a week, Dad.
Oh, I'm not complaining. There just doesn't seem to be any time. When you're here, your mother's doing all the talking.
We'll get a chance to talk, Dad.
I can't tell you what a comfort it is knowing you're just down in the city. Don't know what we'd do without you. Jean, remember what I said about California.
Good night, Dad.
Drive carefully. Take your first left and your second right.
Yes.
And then left under the bridge. It's a little tricky down there. And Jean...
Look, I've driven this road for 20 years, for heaven's sake.
Just trying to be helpful.
Take your first left and second right. Then turn left under the bridge. But do not go as far as California, because it would kill your mother. I hated him for that, for sending up warning flares that if I left, it would not be with his blessing, but with a curse, as he had banished my sister Alice years ago for marrying someone of a different faith. And the scene so terrified me at 14, I was sick. He knew his man, well, that part of me at least, a gentleman who gave way at intersections. And yet, when I looked at those two old people, almost totally dependent on me for their happiness, this is the way the world ends, all right.
Am I glad to see you? Have you seen your mother?
Yes, she's sleeping. That doesn't sound any better.
Well, I've had a shot. After your mother got settled over here in the hospital, the doctor took me to his office, gave me a shot. I just don't know. I was in the kitchen getting breakfast. You know, I've been getting the breakfast when suddenly I heard her scream, "Tom, Tom." I went running up the stairs, and there she was, stretched out on the floor. She'd had an attack. "Nitro," she whispered. "We've got it all over the house, you know." She had attacks before, but I knew at once that this was something more. I gave her the pills and called the doctor. This is an emergency. Come quick. The doctor came, gave her a shot, called the ambulance, and here we are. Well, she had a good time in Florida. I don't understand it. She ate too fast, you know. Doctor said she should do everything more slowly.
There's no explaining these things, Dad.
I suppose I could have seen more of her down there. But she just wanted to play cards because the ladies just chatted all the time about styles and shops. You know, I'd like to make a suggestion.
What, Dad?
If we move right along, we might be able to make the club for dinner.
Well, I thought we might eat something around here in the hospital.
I had lunch in the coffee shop downstairs. It's terrible. It'll only take a little longer. We won't stay.
Well, let's drop by and see Mother first.
They want her to rest. We'd only disturb her.
Oh, all right.
I don't know what I'd do without you, old man.
Hello, Mother.
Oh, Jean. Look where I ended up.
The doctor says you're better tonight.
You know how this happened, don't you? Why it happened.
No, Mother, but take it easy. He's seen the doctor. He's had a shot.
Well.
You should be sleeping.
Oh, that's all I've been doing. Makes me so mad. I was feeling so well.
Well, how goes it?
How do I know?
You look better.
You know, I came without anything. I've still got my stockings on.
Well, it all happened pretty quick, my darling.
I'll need some things.
Your wish is our command.
I'll write it down, but don't talk too much.
Toothbrush, some night things. I'm still in my slip. Oh, and a hairbrush.
We'll collect some things.
Oh, you wouldn't know what to bring. Jean, you look around.
Yes. Now, just you take it easy.
I hate being seen this way.
We think you look beautiful.
Mother, we're just going to sit here now because you're talking too much. You're being a naughty girl. Hey, those are lovely flowers Alice sent. She knows your favorites. I called her. I'll keep in touch with her. She said she'd come on, but I said I didn't think she had to. Oh, all right, nurse. We're just leaving. We'll run along now, Mother.
My precious.
Good night, Mom. Sleep well.
Good night.
Well, my dearest, remember what we used to say to the children? When you wake up, may your cheeks be as red as roses and your eyes as bright as diamonds.
Good night, Mom.
Good night, Jean.
Good night, my dearest.
Good night, Tom.
Well, we can get the things ready. You can bring them early tomorrow morning on your way to town.
I've got an early appointment at the college tomorrow, Dad. I'll have to run along after we have a nightcap.
Oh, I thought you might spend the night.
I've got an early appointment at college tomorrow.
Well, you could stay and still make it.
Well, it's very early, Dad.
We've got an alarm clocks all over the house.
Well, I wanted to change before the appointment, you know, a shirt. And...
I've got shirts, underwear, socks.
I don't wear your sizes, Dad.
I could get you up earlier then. I don't sleep beyond 5 these days.
No, Dad, I just... No, well, no.
Maybe something good on television. Wednesday night, I think there is.
Right. We'll watch a little television, Dad, and have some drinks. But then I'll have to go.
All right, old man.
I sat with my father much longer than I meant to, because I knew I should stay the night. But I couldn't. I went home. The next morning, around 9:30, my mother died. Dad?
Oh, Jean.
I called Alice.
Hello, Jean.
Mr. Scott.
I'm terribly sorry.
Thank you.
Now, the burial is to be where, Tom?
The upper burial ground. I've got the deed at home in my file cabinet, if I can ever find it.
Well, will you see that I get it, Jean? At least the number of the plot.
It's 542.
You're sure of that?
My wife was buried there last year.
That's right.
An obituary. Perhaps you'd like to prepare something, Tom.
Yes. Well, Gene was very close to his mother.
Yes, I'll work something up.
Well, if you could. By this afternoon, so that it'll catch the...
She was my inspiration. When I met her, the clouds hung low and dark. I was going to night school, studying shorthand and typing and elocution, working in a lumber yard in the daytime, wearing a cutaway coat, if you please, someone at the church had given me. I was making a home for my brother and sister. My mother had died. My father deserted us. He did not know the meaning of the word quit. They said that some years ago when the schoolboys of Old Harlem gave me an award. You were there, Gene.
Yes.
Obstructions, yes. But go through them or over them, but never around them. Teddy Roosevelt said that. I took it down in shorthand for practice. Early in life, I developed a will of iron. Any young man in this country who has a sound mind and a sound body, who will set himself an objective, can achieve anything he wants within reason.
I'll write something.
About what?
Mother, for an obituary.
Oh, yes, yes, you do that. Yeah, he's a literary member of the family. You'll use the church, won't you, not the chapel. I imagine there'll be hundreds of people there. Garden club, women's club, mother's club.
Oh, I'm sure that Reverend Pell will use whatever you want. Now, I'd like to estimate that Mrs. Garrison should be, that is, if people want to come to pay their last respects, about noon tomorrow.
All right.
Would you like to see where Mrs. Garrison will be resting?
No, thank you. I think we'll be moving along.
I assume your sister Alice will be coming on.
She arrives this evening. Shall we go, Dad?
Oh, yes.
Shouldn't we be getting home to Dad?
I suppose so, but I'm not ready to go home yet. Let's sit over here where we can get away from the noise at the bar.
All right. You've had quite a day.
I'm sorry for blowing off, but damn it, Alice, our mother died this morning. And I wanted to talk about her. But she hasn't been mentioned except as my inspiration, which is his cue to start the story of his life.
I'm sorry you had to take it all alone.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad of the chance to get out of the house to come to meet you. I'm so tired of hearing about when the clouds hung low and dark. I'm so tired of people coming up to me and saying, your dad's a remarkable man. Nobody talks about mother. Just, he's a remarkable man. Hell, you'd think he died. I want to say to them, my mother was a remarkable woman. You don't know my father. You only know the man in the newspapers. He's a selfish swine who's lived on the edge of exasperation all his life. You don't know the bite of his sarcasm. The night he banished my sister from marrying against his wishes did not get into the papers.
Shush.
What a night that was. Mother running around sobbing. You shouting at him and storming out. And the two of us, father and son, left to finish dinner in silence. Afterwards, I threw up.
I shouted, and you threw up. That was pretty much the pattern.
I know I'm being unfair, but I'm in the mood to be unfair. I've wanted to turn to him all day and say, for heaven's sake, will you for once shut up about your miserable childhood and say something about mother? But I can't say that. He's an old man, and my father, and his wife has died. And he may be experiencing something somewhere I know nothing about. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
No. Mother loved your flowers.
Oh, I felt guilty about Mother. All the way coming here. I should have seen her more, invited her more often, brought the kids more often. Instead, I sent flowers.
I guess that's an inevitable feeling when a person dies. I feel the same way.
But you were so good to her. You made her life.
A son is not supposed to make his mother's life. Oh, I loved Mother. You know that. But to be depended on to make her life. Dad says, and he boasts, he never knew the meaning of the word quit. Well, he quit on her, all right. And I was just there.
Still, wait till you see him. There's something that comes through. The old tiger. Something that reaches you and makes you want to cry. He'll probably be asleep when we get home in front of the television. And you'll see the old man, the father. But then he wakes up and becomes Tom Garrison, and I'm in trouble. Last night he asked me to stay with him, and I didn't. I couldn't. I'm ashamed of that now.
Have you called California?
No.
I suppose we have enough problems for the next few days, but...
After?
Yes. We'll have to start thinking about Dad. About what we're going to do.
I don't know. Well, let's go home. And thanks for listening to all this, Alice. I thought I wanted to talk to you about Mother, but all I've done is talk about him, just like the others.
We'll talk. There'll be time.
Only a dozen or so people were at my mother's funeral. Most of her friends were dead, or had moved to other cities, or just couldn't make it. Perhaps some of them who were still in the neighborhood looked up from their evening papers to say, "I see Mrs. Garrison died. She was nice."
I don't know how you feel, but I'd like to figure out some kind of a memorial to Mother. Use some of the money she left.
Yes, definitely.
Maybe some shelves of books for the children's library. Christmas books with the stories she liked to tell.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, Jean, what are we going to do? I think you should go ahead and get married and move to California. But I might as well get this off my chest. It would be murder if he came to live with us. In the first place, he wouldn't do it, feeling as he does about Sid. And the kids can't stand how he tells them how to do everything.
I think you're right. That would never work. I can't tell you what it does to me as a man to see someone like that. A man who was distinguished, remarkable, just become a nuisance.
I know I sound hard, but he's had his life. And as long as we can be assured that he's taken care of... Oh, I feel some guilt, and you maybe more. But my responsibility is to my husband and my children.
Yes, that's your responsibility.
And your responsibility is to yourself. To get married again. To get away from memories of Carol and the whole world. Have you called California?
No.
If I were the girl you were planning to marry, and you didn't call me to tell me your mother had died...
I just haven't wanted to go into it all with her.
Oh, Jean. My friend. My brother. Get out of here.
Look, Alice, your situation is quite different. Mine's very complex. You fortunately see things very clearly, but it's not so easy for me.
I'm sure we could find a full-time housekeeper. He can't afford it.
No, he'd never agree.
It's that... or finding a home.
Well, it's all so ugly.
Yes, my gentle Jean. A lot of life is.
Now, look, don't go trying to make me out some soft-hearted... I know life is ugly, but I can't tell you how ashamed I feel. Not to say with open arms, "Papa, come live with me. I love you, Papa, and I want to take care of you." I need to love him. I've always wanted to love him.
To talk a little with you about...
Yes, all right. But first, I want to tell you about your mother. She was an inspiration to me.
Yes, Dad, I know. Dad, I'm leaving tomorrow, and...
What?
I'm going home tomorrow.
Well, Alice, I'm grateful you come.
I know it was difficult for you leaving home. Your mother would have appreciated it. She was very fond of you, Alice.
I think we ought to talk over, maybe, what your plans are.
My plans? I have many letters to answer.
I didn't mean exactly that kind of plans. I meant, well, you haven't been well.
Who said so?
Your mother was worried to death about
it. I was under a strain. Your mother's health, never knowing when it might happen. Trying to get her to take care of herself, to take it easy. You know the doctor said if she didn't eat more slowly, this might happen.
You plan to keep the house?
Oh, yes.
I worry leaving you in this house alone, Dad.
I am perfectly all right. Now, don't worry about me, either of you. Why, for the last year, since your mother's first attack, I've been getting the breakfast, making the beds, using the dust rag, and the laundress comes in once a week for me. And Jean here, if Jean will keep an eye on me, drop in once or twice a week.
That's the point.
Alice.
We think you should have a full-time housekeeper, Dad, to live here.
What, alone here with me? That wouldn't be very proper, would it?
Nevertheless.
No, that's final. Look, Alice, you can go leave with a clear mind. I'm all right. Of course, I'll appreciate Jean dropping in, but I'm all right.
Dad, you might fall down.
Why fall down? There's nothing wrong with my balance.
Sometimes when you get up, you're dizzy.
Nonsense. Now, I appreciate your concern, but I'm perfectly able to carry on by myself. As I said, with Jean's help from time to time. I imagine we could have dinner every once in a while, couldn't we, Jean? Once a week or so, take you up to the club?
Sure, Dad.
And give us some time together at last. Get to know each other.
Jean wants to get married.
Alice.
What?
Jean wants to move to California and get married.
Alice, shut up.
I can't help it. You've never faced up to him. You'd let him ruin your life.
I can take care of my own
life.
You
can't!
Children! I have no desire to interfere with either of your lives. I took care of myself at 8. I can take care of myself at 80. I've never wanted to be a burden to my children.
I'm going to hang around, Dad.
There's no need to.
I'll move in here at least till you're feeling better.
I don't want to ruin your life.
I didn't say that.
I have long gotten the impression that my only function in this family is to supply the money...
Dad!
To supply the funds for your education and...
Dad, stop it!
As far as I'm concerned, this conversation is ended.
For heaven's sake, Alice.
I'm only trying to get a practical matter accomplished.
But you don't have to destroy him in the process.
I wasn't discussing his competence. Although that will be a matter for discussion soon.
Oh, look, Alice, just leave it. Leave it now. The way it is. Don't say any more.
With you staying on.
Yes, you can go with a clear conscience.
My conscience is clear.
I'm doing this because I want to.
You're doing it because you can't help yourself.
Look, when I want to be analyzed, I'll pay for it.
But I saw you. Didn't you see yourself there? When he started to rage, didn't you feel yourself pull in? You shrank.
I shrank at the ugliness of what was happening.
You're staying because you can't stand his anger. The day you say, Dad, I'm leaving, you've never been able to stand up to his anger. He's cowed you.
Look, Alice, you
have... He'll call you ungrateful. And you'll believe him. He'll lash out at you with his sarcasm, and that will kill this lovely, necessary image you have of yourself as the good son. Can't you see that?
Well, what do you want us to do? Shall we get out a white paper? Let it be known that we, Alice and Jean, have done all we can to make this old man happy in his old age. Without inconveniencing ourselves, of course. And he's refused our help? So if he falls and hits his head and lies there until he rots, it's not our fault? Is that it?
You insist.
Haven't you learned on the couch of your psychiatrist that people do not always do what you want them to do?
He's going to ruin your life.
He's not.
He is.
A few weeks, a month.
Forever.
Alice. Oh, Alice, let's not go on discussing it. I know what I'm going to do. Maybe he's right. Maybe it's time we found each other.
I find that sentimental junk. I think this is all rationalization to make tolerable a compulsion you have to stay here. You hate the compulsion, so you've dressed it up to look nice.
How do you know that what you're saying isn't a rationalization to cover up a callousness, a selfishness, a coldness in yourself, to make it smell
nice? And what do you think you'll
find? I don't
know. I hope you find love. Can't you tell from what he says what you're going to find? When has he ever regarded you as a man, an equal, a male? When you were a Marine? And that you did for him, because even back there you were looking for his love. You didn't want to be a Marine. Now, Papa, will you love me? And he did. No, not love. But he was proud and grateful because you gave him an extension of himself he could boast about, with his phony set of values. When was he ever proud about the things you do, the things you value? When did he ever mention your teaching or your books, except in scorn?
You don't seem to have felt the absence of a father. But I feel incomplete, deprived. I just don't want to let my father die a stranger to me.
You're looking for something that isn't there, Jean.
I'll stay, Alice. For a while, at least. For whatever reasons. Let's not argue anymore.
Aunt Peggy?
She'll be coming in a week or two. We'll see.
Don't lose her, Jean. Maybe I'm still fouled up on myself. But I think I've spoken near the truth about you.
I keep wondering why I haven't called her, or wanted to call her. Why I seem so much closer to Carol at the moment.
The image of the eternally bereaved husband, forgive me, the dutiful son, they're very appealing. But they're not living. Night, Jean. Suddenly, I miss Mother so.
Yes.
Dad, you ready to be tucked in?
Yes. Look at the weight I've lost.
Oh, well, we'll soon put some back on you.
Do you remember when I used to get you up in the morning and we'd go down and do calisthenics to the radio?
Yes.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three,
hey,
four.
Hey, take it easy.
Remember when we used to put on the gloves and spar down on the side porch? I don't think you ever liked it very much. I was looking through my bureau drawer. I don't know, just going over things. Pictures. I think you've seen most of them. The family.
You know, Dad, I've never seen a picture of your father.
Here.
He's just a boy.
And that was taken about the time he was married.
I'd always thought of him as, well, the way you talked about
him. Oh, he was a fine-looking man before he started to drink. Big, square, high color. But he became my mortal enemy. Did I ever show you that? Now, careful. When I set up home for my brother and sister, one day we were all out and he came around and ripped up all my sister's clothes and shoes. Drunk, of course. A few days later he came around to apologize and ask for some money and I threw him out. Next day he left this note. You are welcome to your burden.
And you kept it?
Yes. I never saw him again until many years later he was dying.
Well, there must have been something there to love, to understand.
And my father? No. Do you remember this? To the best father in the world on Father's Day. That was in 1946. I appreciate that, Jean. That's a lovely tribute. I think I have all your Father's Day cards here. Here's a program of yours from college, some glee club concert. I've got everything but the kitchen stove in here. You still sing?
No, not in years.
Ah, that's too bad. You had a good voice. But we can do everything. I remember your mother would sit at the piano hour after hour, and I'd be up here at my desk, and I'd hear you singing.
You always wanted me to sing When I Grow Too Old to Dream.
Did I? I don't remember your ever singing that. You always seemed to be just finishing when I came into the room. Did you used to sing that for me?
No, but you always asked me to sing it for you.
Oh, well, I enjoy it sitting up here and listening. That's my mother.
Yes, I've seen that, Dad. It's lovely.
She was 25 when that was taken. She died the next year. I carried it in my wallet for years. Then I felt I was wearing it out. So I put it away. I didn't think it would be this way. I always thought I'd go first. Oh, I'm sorry. It just comes over me. It'll pass. I'll get a hold of myself.
Don't try, Dad. Believe me, it's bad.
No. It's just that... I'll be all right.
It's rough, Dad. It's bound to be rough.
It'll pass.
Can I help you put these things away, Dad?
No. I can't. Well, if you would. I don't know what we'd do without you.
Dad?
Yes.
You remember I wrote you about California and Peggy?
What?
The girl in California.
Oh, yes.
Well, I am thinking very seriously, Dad, of going out there to marry and to live. Now, I know this is your home, where you're used to, but I'd like you to come out there with me, Dad. It's lovely out there, and we could find an apartment for you near us.
You know, I'd like to make a suggestion. Why don't you all come live here?
Peggy has a practice out there.
What?
She's a doctor, Dad. I told you. And children with schools and friends.
We have a big house here. You always like this house. It's wonderful for children.
Dad, I'd like to get away from this part of the country for a while. It's been rough here ever since Carol died. And it'd be good for you, too, getting away.
Your mother would be very happy to have the house full of children again. I won't be around long, and then it'll be all yours.
Well, that's very kind of you, Dad, but I really don't think that would work. Besides her work and the children, all Peggy's family are out there.
Your family is here.
Yes, I know.
Just me, of course. You know, Gina, I'm only saying this for your own good. I was wondering if you've really waited long enough to know your own mind.
I know my own mind, Dad.
I mean, taking on another man's children. You know, children are far from the blessing they're supposed to be.
I happen to love Peggy.
Did you mention this business of California to your mother?
She mentioned it to me and told me to go ahead with her blessing.
She would say that, of course. But I warned you.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
All right. Go ahead. I can manage. Send me a Christmas card if you remember.
Dad.
What?
I've asked you to come with me.
And I have told you that I'm not going.
I understand that, but not this send me a Christmas card if you remember.
I'm very sorry if I offended you. Your mother always said I mustn't raise my voice to you. Did you want me to make it easy for you the way your mother did? Well, I won't. If you want to go, go.
Oh, damn it.
I've always known it had come to this when your mother was gone. I was tolerated around this house because I paid the bill.
Shut up.
Don't you...
Shut up. I asked you to come with me. What do you want? What the blazes do you want? If I lived here for the rest of my life, it wouldn't be enough for you. I've tried, damn it. I've tried to be the dutiful son, to maintain the image of the good son, commanded into your presence on every conceivable occasion. Easter, Christmas, birthdays, Thanksgiving. Even that Thanksgiving when Carol was dying. I was staying with her in the hospital. We missed you. Our day is nothing without you. Couldn't you come up for an hour or two after you leave Carol? You had no regard for what was really going on. My wife was dying.
Isn't it so terrible to want to see your own son?
It's terrible to want to possess him entirely and completely.
There will be some papers to sign for your mother's estate. Be sure you leave an address with my lawyers.
Dad, Dad.
From tonight on, you can consider me dead. I gave you everything. Since I was a kid, I worked my fingers to the bone. You've had everything, and I had nothing. I put a roof over your head, clothes on your back.
Food on the table.
Things I never had.
I know.
You ungrateful swine.
What do you want for gratitude? Nothing. Nothing would be enough. You've resented everything you ever gave me. The orphan boy in you has resented everything. I'm sorry about your miserable childhood. When I was a kid and you told me those stories, I used to go up to my room at night and cry. But there is nothing I can do about it. And it does not excuse everything. I am grateful to you. I also admire you and respect you and stand in awe of what you've done with your life. I will never be able to touch it. But it does not make me love you. And I wanted to love you.
Ah.
You hated your father. I saw what it did to you.
I didn't want to hate you.
I don't care what you feel about me.
But I do. I came so close to loving you tonight. I had never felt so open to you. You don't know what it cost me to ask you to come with me. When I've never been able to sit in a room alone with you. Did you really think your door was always open to me?
It was not my fault you never came in.
Goodbye, Dad. I'll arrange for someone to come in.
I don't want anyone to come in. I can take care of myself. Go to blazes!
That night, I left my father's house forever. I took the first right and the second left, and this time I did go as far as California. Peggy and I visited him once or twice, and then he came to California to visit us, and had a fever and swollen ankles, and we put him in a hospital, and he never left. The reason we gave, and which he could accept for not leaving, the swollen ankles. But the real reason, the arteries were hardening, and he gradually, over several years, slipped into complete and speechless senility, with all his life centered in his burning eyes. When I would visit him, we would sit and look at each other. His eyes would mist over and his nostrils would pinch with emotion. But I never could learn what the emotion was. Anger, or love, or regret. One day, sitting in his wheelchair and staring without comprehension at television, he died alone. Death ends a life, but it does not end a relationship, which struggles on in the survivor's mind towards some resolution which it never finds. Alice said I would not accept the sadness of the world. What did it matter if I never loved him, or if he never loved me? Perhaps she was right. But still, when I hear the word father, it matters.
That was I Never Sang for My Father, written by Robert Anderson, adapted for radio by Suzanne Atwell, and directed by Henry Diffenthal. It starred Roger Service, Maureen Adair, and Stuart Parker. It was originally broadcast on Springbok Radio in 1979. Radio Theatre comes courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.